This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stasio. A couple of years ago, Bank of America was caught in a bid rigging scheme involving municipal bond contracts. It's the kind of crime mobsters used to go to jail for. Instead, the bank paid $137 million for its wrongdoing. Wells Fargo agreed to pay $175 million in fines for discrimination and fraud. The Justice Department said the bank's discriminatory lending practices resulted in more than 34,000 African-American and Hispanic borrowers across the country paying higher interest rates for loans solely because of the color of their skin. And again, nobody did any jail time. The government has not held banks and investment firms criminally responsible for their felonies, many of which contributed to the 2008 economic collapse and the pain that followed. As Law and Order Week continues, we thought we'd ask why. Joining us by phone from Charlotte is Rick Rothacker. He's a Reuters banking reporter and the author of Banktown, The Rise and Struggles of Charlotte's Big Banks. Rick, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Let's go back over just a couple that I mentioned in the intro. Bid rigging scheme that Bank of America got caught in. Describe that for us. What happened? We'll start there. What was that?
Well, a number of banks have gotten in trouble for this, and this has to do with investment contracts that are related to municipal bond offerings. They get the money, but then put it in an investment contract until they need the money. And essentially, banks were kind of conspiring with each other to see who bid and what they bid at. And Bank of America, in that instance, was actually the first one to kind of come forward and say they had a problem, and they actually got off lighter than some of the other banks. And kind of once they started talking to the government, it's kind of slowly rolled out that a number of other banks have gotten in trouble here. And like you said, it's been it's been more civil type cases as opposed to criminal cases.
Right, but this is the kind of thing, like, to compare it in terms of bid rigging. So the city puts out a bid for concrete; they're going to make parking lots. And then some local contractor either bribes the guy who's taken the bids, or he works with other contractors to make his low bid a little higher than usual, and the city suffers. I mean, it's that kind of thing we're talking about.
Yeah, essentially it's sort of the banks working with each other to submit bids that, are more favorable to them, and they're kind of scratching each other's back as they decide what types of bids to put in. So in these settlements, a lot of municipalities and states and other nonprofits have been getting some reimbursement because they probably should have been making more money than they were.
Now, Wells Fargo, let's talk about that, this discrimination case.
Yeah, that's a case, a couple different banks have run into this lately, and it's something that, a lot of people have looked at over the years is with subprime mortgages, more likely customers were going to be African-Americans or Latino customers. And as they looked into this, the government argued that the bank was sort of steering customers into these loans. In some cases, they might have been qualified for a better loan, a prime loan, but instead they ended up with a subprime loan. And you see the government reaching settlements with them. They did a big one with Countrywide, now part of Bank of America, one with SunTrust. Wells Fargo, very strongly in this one said it didn't think it did anything wrong, that it was, the case was more based on sort of analysis of data as opposed to actually finding, folks who said they were purposely doing this based on skin color. But certainly it's a black eye for the company. And, a pretty serious case.
And in some cases, it wasn't just a con job talking people into a different situation. There were documents that were changed, in some cases, and that would amount to fraud, does it not? Am I right about that?
Yeah, I mean, they would get into cases, and so there were some civil suits related to this as well, where, some of the things you see in the whole mortgage, boom that we had, there were people, filling in wrong data and changing income statements and things like that to see how people would qualify or not qualify. And that was part of this case as well.
So are there criminal charges possible here? And why has the federal government not, or any government, brought criminal charges in these cases?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I think that's one of the biggest questions still out there from the financial crisis is, and critics will say, why aren't executives going to jail? And, the answer so far has been that either these cases are difficult to prove, there's a higher burden of proof, and then a few of the cases that they've brought haven't had a lot of luck with. There was a subprime case in 2009 for some hedge fund managers, and they ended up getting off. We saw a case with Citigroup recently where they were not found guilty, and so I think they've been a little bit gun shy.
Well, let me, while you're clearing your throat there, let me ask you about just the Citigroup case, for instance. You say they were found not guilty. I mean, why is it? There was no case. They weren't. Is it a question of – because you mentioned that it's very difficult to bring these cases. So how do analysts see these not guilty verdicts?
Yeah, I mean, I think you still have a lot of people who just, you know, wonder, is the government being strong enough? You know, some critics will say that, you know, after Enron, after the SNL crisis, that the government, you know, was more forceful and, you know, brought more resources to bear on the problem. You know, there's been some criticism that whether back in 2008, other parts of the government said, hey, we're in such a cliff here with the economy and the state of the financial system, you know, we don't need to be hauling people off to jail right now. We need to be, you know, stabilizing the system and, you know, keeping confidence from falling apart even more. And so there's kind of conflicting theories on why we're at this. But obviously a lot of people are still upset and wonder whether, you know, if an executive doesn't end up going to jail, then, you know, is that much of a deterrent to take a risk again?
Well, it seems so. Matt Taibbi wrote that piece a little while ago in Rolling Stone called Too Big to Fail. I think he focused on Bank of America. And I'm going to quote him now. He said that the government remains creepily committed to their survival, like overindulgent parents who refuse to believe their 40-year-old live-at-home son could possibly be responsible for those dead hookers in the backyard. What does a $137 million fine sounds like a lot of money to me, but for Bank of America, does that let them off the hook pretty easily?
I mean, when you look at some of the fines, you know, that for the amount of money they're making per year, it's not going to be a big amount. One thing that's kind of interesting in these fines is that you're punishing the company and making a statement that this is wrong, but at the same point, you're hurting the shareholders of the company who were just, you know, innocent investors in the company. So there is a little bit of a balancing act there. And, you know, I think in the criminal cases, too, you know, you've seen instances where if you do bring criminal charges, there was a big case against Arthur Andersen where the company basically collapsed after it was charged, and later the charges were thrown out, but the company went away and all those jobs. And so, you know, when you're on the brink of a recession and you have companies that have hundreds of thousands of employees, you know, I would assume they're taking that into account. But, you know, there is sort of a feeling that, are these big fines just sort of a cost of doing business that are just kind of factored into the analysis of, well, how much money are we going to make on this proposition versus how much are we going to get in trouble if it's something wrong here?
Whistleblowers, I know, have a big role to play in government investigations of any corporation. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's been, I think, one of the more interesting facets of all this is some of the cases where they've had whistleblowers who are willing to go out on the limb and bring some evidence forward, those cases have been more successful. I've written about a couple where, as part of this broader, you know, $25 billion mortgage settlement, some of these whistleblower cases were settled. And this is under a law called the False Claims Act, where essentially the whistleblower can bring a suit against the government. And if they decide to intervene and join in that case, you get a portion of the settlement. So a Bank of America whistleblower, well, really a countrywide whistleblower, essentially came forward about some appraisal fraud, and he eventually got $14 million as part of his settlement, and which obviously is a lot of money and is good for them, but it's a pretty difficult process for these whistleblowers because they have to be quiet about it. They're sort of filed under seal, and so for a couple of years, this one whistleblower, you know, he really couldn't tell family members. He's, you know, having financial troubles and can't really tell everyone what's going on. So it is a difficult process, but cases where they can really come through to the government, show them documents and help kind of make the case, they've worked out pretty well. And we've seen a number of big ones against the banks as well as some other types of companies. The SEC has also added a whistleblower law, and there was an announcement this week of a whistleblower that got a smaller amount of money. I think it was like $50,000, and it was a little bit strange because they wouldn't identify the whistleblower or the case, but it was at least an example that someone who brought forward a case actually got a payout as well.
Rick, is what are critics saying about this? Do critics think that there need to be tougher and different laws, or just better enforcement of the ones that are on the books?
Yeah, I think it's probably a mix. I mean, in the whistleblower case, the SEC whistleblower law is new, and I think it's part of Dodd-Frank, and the idea was there, especially after like the Madoff cases and where things have gone unchecked for so long, that we did need stronger laws to help bring people forward and maybe put some pressure on the SEC to bring better cases. I think there's a lot of feeling that, there are ample laws, but are they being enforced as strongly as they can? But obviously with Dodd-Frank, we still have a lot of the regulations are still going into place, and there's still a lot of concern about whether banks are really going to get in as much trouble as maybe they deserve.
All right, Rick, thanks so much.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
Rick Rothiker, a Reuters banking reporter, the author of Banktown: The Rise and Struggles of Charlotte's Big Banks. Just ahead, new data that reveals more about an old problem, a look at racial profiling in North Carolina, on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, the broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.